Mystic Roundtable 1, Rosie Perez and Joko. Let's let them in. Hello. I'm just going to wait for Karen to load in. Just a reminder to keep your mics muted unless you're asking a question. And Karen, you can take the first one.
Oh, wow. Wasn't expecting that. Hi, I'm Karen from SciFiVision.com. Thanks so much for being here today with us. I guess I'll start off with sort of an easy question. Over the first few episodes, your character's relationship evolves kind of slowly. We see, you know, sort of their initial partnership and then a mature friendship. And I wonder if you could tell us what a little bit of what we can expect to see over the course of the series.
It's a really nice thing because it's something that you see develop kind of from episode to episode, because you see them first in very much just a professional setting. There they are at a scene of a car accident, and she's just joined the homicide squad. I've always been around longer, and there's a kind of implied relationship with, you know, the boss and the fledgling, and that changes very, very quickly because she's the one who actually starts noticing things that don't seem quite right. And within a very few episodes, she starts to learn more about my family life, what's going on with my wife and what I'm going home to. And these connections start to get made on a very personal level, in addition to what's going on in the work. And you see that bond kind of develop and how they start to play off each other. Sort of as they get to know each other better as people. And the great thing is then 20 years later, you've seen how all of that evolved. I'm retired. My wife is gone. Basically, all I have, in a sense, is this friendship, when all she had at the beginning was this job and this search for justice and this, you know, someplace to put all this passion. And at the end of it, I'm kind of the one who's down to one friend that I'm clinging to, one connection to the world. And it's a really nice kind of evolution to get to play through. And the show going back and forth in time, I think helps that, because you start to inform, one informs the other back and forth. As you see them later, you start to see different things in their relationship early on as well. And where did that come from? And the structure of it really feeds that.
And Jamie.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jamie with Starry Constellation Magazine. Rosie, Flora is the definition of determined. Is it because she has had this training and she wants to go by the book, or is just as something she is flowing through her blood, and she kind of is so focused on that because, you know, this is something she craves as an idealist?
Well, when I was first initially offered this role, I told Gideon Raff and Ramon Campos it wasn't enough for me. I needed a backstory. I needed the reason why she was so obsessive. And I said, what if she didn't have family? What if something terrible happened to her family, an injustice that was never corrected? And so she joined the police department because of that reason. And Gideon was like, I love it. Let's play with it. And what they came back with was amazing. Really amazing. And it helped me just dive right in. And also, I have law enforcement in my family, and I've seen them go through it as well. And, you know, they are about justice, about what's right, and holding people accountable. And I carried that with me as well.
Back to you, Karen.
Great. Could you tell us a little bit about you know, the tone of this series is so interesting, and we see like a really different look and a tone in each timeline, right? They're not really flashbacks. We're telling like two stories with this. What did you do anything special to prepare for either side of that timeline?
Well, for me, outside of the physical appearance 20 years earlier, you know, I wanted I worked on the physicality of Florida at 20 years younger, and also on her immaturity and her, how it played out in her emotional response. And, you know, she has a superior officer, and she's getting frustrated with him, you know, you know, and that comes from immaturity, but it also comes from pain, and how young people deal with pain isn't always the best way. And so all of those things that I tried to incorporate into that, I don't know if I answered your question, but I hope I did.
No, that's great. Thank you.
Back to you, Jamie.
Mr. Ivanek, it's great dichotomy between these two characters of that Flora and, you know, her new partner on this, whereas she is very by the book. I think he's kind of over it, and he's been through it enough that he doesn't need to follow the book as much as she believes she does. Was that something discussed as well, where they stand in their police procedures?
I think he does follow the book. I think he's just done it so long that you kind of know that, okay, 9 times out of 10, it turns out to be this. And this is the one time where she's going to get it, but this is the 10th time. And this time, things are different, and, you know, just clear your head and look at it fresh. And there's a certain, because he's totally by the book, but there's just a certain amount, I've done this enough times that I know how this usually turns out. And it's the freshness of her eyes of looking at something going, yeah, but why is that door open? Why this? Why does everyone keep answering the question the same way? And it's that kind of niggles at the case, and it's that starts to break the case. They don't solve it in that time, but all the leads kind of open up because of that, because of her kind of fresh look at it. And I think that's what he gets from her in the initial sense. And then watching her after he's retired, how she handles the case later, it's like, okay, that's everything I would want to be able to do if I were still doing it, and everything I hope I taught you and everything you taught me in the meantime as well.
Yeah. And also adding on to your previous question and this question too, Flora is also driven by the issue of classism. You know, she is just so bothered that these rich kids are getting away with a crime, and she knows they're getting away with a crime. And so it just, it informs, it comes from what happened in her past with her family, you know? And there was one scene with the young kid who plays the young Manolo Cardona character.
Yeah.
When he's walking away and he turns and he looks at Flora and everything. And that was the greatest thing, yeah. Right? It's like, such a prick. And she's like, I'm really going to get these guys, you know, I'm really going to get them. And so it's a thing to explore within the Latin community, whatever country you're from, that the classism is great. It yeah. really is.
I mean, there's that issue. Moment where she's like, with older Marco, she's like, I got you. Like, she's like at that point where she's like, like, victory is hers. You know, it's come 360. I've got
it
you.
Took 20
Full
years.
Circle moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And back to you, Karen.
So I was a little, as the season opens, or the series opens, Sullivan, he looks like this sort of maybe a little more typical, the older cop. He's a little more jaded, a little more, you know, hard-nosed. And slowly, you know, I think in the later timeline, he becomes a bit of a nurturer for Flora. We see him in episode 3, he arrives at her house and he's bringing groceries. Yeah. He's saying, yeah. You have to take care of yourself. And I wonder, you know, where that comes, where you find that in the character. And I haven't seen to episode 8, so I'm not really sure what we're going to learn about that.
I think, oddly enough, that might start in episode 4. So if you saw the first 3, I think it's very soon after that we start to get a glimpse of his home life, and that his wife is very ill, and that has taken a great deal of his focus. And I think it's one of part of the reason that he's not as on top of things as Flora turns out to be, on these clues and all these things that don't add up and don't make sense. So all that nurturing and care is completely focused on his wife at that point. And when he loses that and eventually is retired, there's kind of nothing left. I don't even know in the series if we actually have children anymore. I know they were scripted. I think they might have been cut in an episode at some point, but you certainly don't see the children, his children, if he has them. But even if they exist, it always seemed to me that the relationship and the love he had for his wife almost kind of excluded them, and that became a kind of like unit of two. And that once that was taken away from him, there's kind of nothing left. And all that kind of love or attention or need, whatever, gets poured into Flora. And the tables have just completely kind of turned. She's the one now on top and batting me away when I show up at the office, you know, handling oranges. I wanted to show up every time, like with some nurturing things. So here's a cake, here's some oranges, here's some fruit, here's some water, here's something. Giving myself purpose on the one hand, but also here's the one person I have left that I can do something for. Here's the one person I can, for whom I can still be good. And that, for reasons that get played out, is enormously important to him.
And I guess we'll find out, but it does early on, you know, I'm interested in Flora's ability to accept that nurturing. And she does seem to, you know, while she's sort of pushing it aside and not wanting to focus on herself, she does seem really able, I think she's accepting this from her friend. She's not, at least not yet, you know, having a strong reaction. It's telling me something about their friendship.
I think that Flora definitely loves Sully and views him as kind of a surrogate family member because she doesn't have anything except her dog. And he is the only one that worries about her and looks after her and all that stuff. And I think that's really, really sweet. And as hard-nosed as she is and dismissive of people because she just wants to focus on her job, when he comes around, that's when you see Flora smile. Even the younger Flora, when she is looking for the cell phone,
yeah,
and she's like, I got it, yeah, you know, and she's like poking fun at him. That's the only time that you see that softer human side. And it's Sully that brings it out of Flora. And I think that's just so special. And I don't think that was so much on the page. I think that's just what we worked on and developed. And it's interesting because in Spain, while we were doing that, like you said, we were the Americans in Spain, we had to rely on each other, you know? So maybe that bled through a bit. But I love that. I love that you see her tender side only with Sully.
And let's cut. That is all the time we have. Thank you guys very much. We'll see you.